The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, we're going to talk World Cup for 3 hours today. Either that or Summer League basketball. What do you think? Ah, screw that. Let's have some fun. It's a Friday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
It's Friday, gotta get down Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying, yeah. Fun, looking forward to the weekend.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. No A.J. Hoffman today. Jerome Solomon's here. Jong Lee, the master, if you want to get in, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at Jerome Solomon, at Jong Snow with a zero, not an O. It's just habit. At Degenerates 975. You can text the show also, 713-780-3776. And you can watch us on live stream because we're beautiful people. Well, Jerome is.
Well, there's a difference. You could tell me and AJ. I was over here rapping that rascal.
I see.
Was that? Yeah. Did that go out over the air?
It did. That's okay.
I forgot to turn off the mic.
But, you probably should rap the rascal. It's all right.
I probably should rap the rascal with this used thing.
Yeah. I don't think we want any more little Solomons running around. So, yeah.
No, a couple's enough.
What's going on, man?
Not much, man. Hanging in there. That song makes me think of, I don't even watch these competition shows.
Yeah.
Never watched American Idol or any of those. I think I got forced into watching Dancing with the Stars when like Emmitt Smith was on it way back when they first began or something. But the girl who sings this song, I was flipping channels one day or turned the TV on a couple of weeks ago and it popped up on one of those competition shows and she was on there trying to make a career out of herself because apparently she was like all in tears and they did a little background thing before they perform and,
right.
And I guess her father is a music executive or something and this song came out when she was 13 or 14 years old and
she's now legal age
and it was a huge song and a big hit and all of that but she's been just abused since then because people are like, well, we hate this song, we hate you, and people attack her on social media all her life over, not all her life, but these last 5 years. I think she's 18 or 19.
I think she's 19.
It really is kind of rough. Like, you do something like this, and it's kind of cool, and you're just a kid, and people attack you like you're an adult. It's a bit much.
But people do that. That's what,
That's how people are.
No, I'm not saying it makes it right, but they attack everybody.
Yeah, but going at James Harden, 28-year-old who's half a billionaire now versus going at some 13, 14-year-old kid. That's a little different. People should do better.
James would have people beat you up if you did that, though. Allegedly.
He would not do that more than once, if at all.
713-780-ESPN. I made a big sacrifice for you today, Jerome. Both you and Jong.
Oh.
And I want some appreciation for this. Because
okay.
I swung by Prime Social today because our girl Holly was filling in with Dell, and I just kind of wanted to drop by and show a little support.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the tournament started at noon.
You jumped in.
And I started thinking, okay, let's see how many people are going to sign up for this tournament because I think when AJ did it, he got here at like 5:15 when he did that. Uh-huh. And I'm thinking, AJ owes me one, but he's not here, so would I do that to Jerome? But Jerome's the one person that would understand.
Oh, yeah. If you're in and you're rolling. And
yeah,
you're,
yeah. And plus, we have a standard deal. You get 10%. So, I was kind of thinking, man, I might be able to do this. And then, at the last second, I said, I'm just going to go to the gym. I'm not going to play, but I am going to go play their Sunday tournament. Oh, I'll be out there. So that's such a nice place, man.
Now, see, that's a whole different thing. And I would have been roasting you the entire show had you done that.
Yeah.
It would be different if you say, I'm going to play the tournament. And if I'm hot, if I'm, you know, chip leader, if I'm top 10 right now and I know I'm going to make the final table, I got to ride it out. Jerome would understand. It's a completely different thing that you're talking before the tournament even begins.
Yeah. Well,
you're considering shafting me.
Well, because if I sit down there, I'm not planning on being out in 2 hours.
I know you're not planning on it.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen. But, and if it did, no one would ever know, right? You wouldn't know that I was going to be.
Right.
See, but that's part of the problem is, I didn't want to hose you. So I think out of respect for you, I chose not to play. But
next time, play.
Do you know how hard it is, though, to walk into a poker room and see people signing up for a tournament and you're just.
It's not really possible.
And that's the thing. I just want to show a little support. And in retrospect, that was probably not a great idea because all I could think about was playing poker all day.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been, I'm sure you have, you ever been in Vegas with no cash or no access to cash because, you know, like you've already hit your daily limit back in the day when you used to have a smaller daily limit on your ATM or something. And you're like, man, I got 8 hours to kill to midnight.
I always plan it pretty well, though. I've had a couple times where, like, 11:58, I had to wait 2 minutes to hit the ATM up. But for the most part, it hasn't happened very often. Excuse me. Hasn't happened very often. Mm. And I don't remember the last time, really. But that's
a long, long time ago. I remember one day I'm like, man, I got all day long to sit around here in Vegas with nothing to do.
Yeah, that is the worst.
It's 118 degrees outside. And no, I'm not exaggerating. It was 118 degrees outside. And like, what am I going
to
do?
And you don't even have money where you can go and sit at one of the damn cheap-ass video pokers and get drinks.
That's the
worst feeling.
Because
I'll go,
I wouldn't even do that because I'm not the video poker.
Well, I'm not either, but if you could put $20 in there and sit there for 3 hours and drink. So it's basically $20 for 3 hours of alcohol.
But that's the equivalent of going to, you know, the seediest strip club where, you know, three old dudes in there.
I'm not saying it's anything to be proud of, Jerome.
And two old dancers.
the Saturday afternoon dancer. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, she has fewer teeth than you have dollars, you know? And you don't have $20.
I'm not saying that it's anything to be proud of, but when you get yourself in that position, and I've done that before, but I will go sit and play, you know, I'll make that $20 last forever and just sit there and get $20 worth of drinks out of it.
And it's all mental. Like I said, it's not something I'm saying you don't know. It's all mental because how many other places can you be? Or will you be, and you desire to just want to be in your room and relax and do nothing?
Yeah.
Or even play with the TV, whatever.
You can't do that in Vegas.
But in Vegas, no. If all you have is your hotel room and the TV, that's not working. That's awful.
Well, if I had been late, no one would have noticed because they scheduled the company meeting for 4 o'clock today. We do a monthly.
Oh, you have a big company meeting?
We do a monthly company meeting.
Oh, so we can just go off and know what's
pretty
listening.
Pretty much, yeah. Nice. And I kind of feel like, you know, we do it at different times so that everybody can go. But I kind of feel like Jong and I got left out of this one. I think it feels a little intentional.
That's that can be a bit of an issue when you know they schedule something when they know you couldn't come.
Yeah, I kind of thought we were a big deal, Jong and I. And now I'm not so sure. Mm-hmm. I don't think they care about us. I did have to provide a little update for the boss on what's going on with Sports Map, which usually I do.
Okay, well, so you had a pre-meeting.
Yeah, well,
you had a premature meeting.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. See, that you're still in then.
I guess.
If they don't talk to you until after the meeting, like we'd like to see after the meeting. That's not. Yeah, you may have done that to me once when you were my boss. You gave the, hey, can you come in? Can you come into the office today? Well, look, why would you ask me to come into the office?
Well, yeah, especially back then, you guys never came in the office.
You're going to ask me to come into the office? Oh, man, I got to sign something, don't I? It has to go in the file.
Well, James says, I always keep a couple grand in my room safe just in case. That way I have to walk back to my room to think about what I just did. what I used to do when I was really spending a lot of money out there is whoever I went out there with, whichever friend or if it was my brother or whatever, I would give them half my stack and say, don't give this to me until at least tomorrow.
Yeah.
And inevitably, I'd always either never have to get to it or that night I'm like, dude, I need the money.
And the thing about it is, you know, when you're a sensible gambler, and I consider you a sensible gambler, and I know that I am, it's even more frustrating because you're not the crazy guy who gets busted all the time. And it's normal and natural. So when it happens, it's really shocking. I mean, it's Rick Barry going 0-for-2 from the free throw line. Yeah. You know, it's like, wait a minute, this doesn't happen to me. Why am I in this situation? You know, and hiding, because I don't hide it. Yeah. I don't go hold this because I don't need anybody to hold it.
Well, I don't anymore. But at the time I did, especially when I was only going to Vegas like once every year, because I would be down the race book all day. I'd be at the poker tables all day, and you know that can get painful in a hurry if you're not playing well or if you're too drunk. I don't anymore. The difference is now when I go, you know, I take a bankroll, and usually one of the first two tournaments that we play in, I'll wind up cashing in, and then I'm up a little bit, and then I'll go play the ponies. And you know, I haven't gotten into any bad situations where I was getting killed in a long time out there because I've just gotten used to it. But man, the first 10 times I went, man, I had to watch myself because it's not just the gambling, man. Oh. There's all kinds of stuff you can get into out there.
When you're learning now, that is different. Yeah, and I was learning a long time ago, and I mean, I had the times where you know, I'm like, well. And I used to only play blackjack, you know, because I was so good at it.
Right.
And I got to be really good at it at some point. But early on, you're learning, you're figuring it out. And you're like, well, I can't really afford this $5 table. Let's go down here to the $2 table. Can't really afford the $2 table anymore. Where's the 50-cent blackjack? That's 2 miles that way on the other side of the highway and take a left. Okay. Yeah,
well, that's...
I don't need that taxi. I'm good.
I'll just walk. Yeah, in the 118-degree weather. All right, quick break. We'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Fred Fowler and Jerome Solomon. Lauren the Aggie. I don't know where Lauren the Aggie's been, but she's back. So not sure how you guys can beat hour one from yesterday, but I hope you try like hell. Yeah, that's going to be kind of tough. Those guys were on point.
They're professionals.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm an amateur here.
So, hey, John, they do have alcohol in there, don't they?
I can go check.
Right now.
It's that kind of meeting.
Wait till the meeting's over, and then, you know, I think we need to be sure we get a little bit of
that. Take all that's left.
I think it should be over. I mean, these meetings don't last too long.
Yeah, especially without me talking, it'll be much shorter. But 713-780-ESPN. So I guess there's talk that the Rockets might sign Carmelo for the minimum when he gets whacked.
Yeah,
that's something that does anything for you.
It does something for me because it brings more interest in the team and I'm rooting for me, so that's a good thing for me.
Right.
If I were just a fan and concerned about the Rockets winning the most games that they could win, this doesn't really do anything for me except that there's potential. And I use that word rather loosely here, that the guy could get hot and win you a playoff game at some point. Now,
got to get off the bench.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's just for that day and that day way off in the future. Before then, you'll be extremely frustrated probably 110, 15 times with what he does and how he does it. But that one game would be worth it if I were a fan, except, you know, fans also they get beat up by the lows, and the lows will be there. I'm very curious though, in that he and Mike D'Antoni are just, they didn't get along.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't about, I mean, they may have had respect for each other, and they'll tell us that if that happens, but they didn't get along, and a lot of it had to do with D'Antoni has his way of thinking, Carmelo has his, and they're both headstrong, and Carmelo has always thought he was better than he is, and he has been great. He's nowhere near good now, let alone great.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Yeah, I just assume I pass on that, but that's me. Although from our perspective,
a lot of scrubs on the team.
Well, I like train wrecks. This is
right.
This is the problem with doing what we do. The train wrecks are more interesting than the actual team, and especially in the Rockets' case, I think if it were to turn into a complete disaster, it'd be a fun story.
Yeah. But that's Carmelo and Mike D'Antoni. D'Antoni's one of the nicest guys on the planet, and fine. Wouldn't you think a Dez Bryant and Bill O'Brien would be a good, entertaining training mix?
I would love to see that.
I mean, and that's the kind of thing that we root for. We like tragedy. I'd love for the Texans to go 16-0 and win every game in overtime. And I would have no problem with them going 0-16 and losing every game in overtime.
Yeah, that's
because I imagine Bill O'Brien's head exploding after about the fourth. You wouldn't even get to October before he'd just lose it.
Yeah, you know? I would love to see something like Dez Bryant, because I could just see that angry little man going off and throwing his hat and having to be pretend held back on the sideline.
Like
he did with Izzo. Yeah,
and it's one of those things too where the what's his name now is a receiver who's one of the best in the league, but he also has an edge to him. You know, but Dez Bryant has a nastier edge, a harder edge, and wouldn't hold back. You know,
couple things from the text line. My wife usually holds half my money when I ask for it back. She won't give it to me. I usually end up at the ATM. Yeah, I want to point out that all the stuff we're talking about was like 10 years ago, maybe longer.
I don't
do all that anymore. I become sort of responsible with my gambling, and I'm out there so much. If I'm not, it could get ugly. I know better.
I haven't had a good ugly. I mean, I haven't had a good ugly run in forever. When I lived in Boston, I used to go to these underground poker rooms that were run by a bunch of these college kids there who could play a little bit. And, you know, some Asian guys had some underground rooms, and they were good players, but they had money to burn, and it was just fun poker, and they were all. All of them were internet poker guys, and this was when internet poker was still, you know, quasi-legal, but they wanted to learn how to play on the felt. And it was so much money and so much action. But there were times where the action was so good. You roll in there on a Friday night at 7 o'clock, and the action's so good. You need to go ahead and get out of there by 11 when you're up, you know, 4 or 5 grand.
Yeah.
But you're like, and then the drunk ones come in, and you're like, I gotta stay.
That's always the hardest one, man.
And they have so much money that they're not going anywhere. So the next day it's 11 a.m. You've been up all night, and you're back to where you're starting. Like, oh no, why did I do that? You know, why did I torture myself like that when I really could have just? But I wanted all the money in the room, not just what I'd already.
That was the last time I really got into it with a wife over something was we were visiting her parents for Christmas a few years back, about 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And there's a little poker room at this Living Skies Casino. They have one table. You have to call at 4:30 to reserve a spot, and then you have to call back because the game starts at 7 and make sure they have enough players. And so I get there, and it's a 2-5 game, and it's a bunch of old people playing old people poker, which is usually not good for me. Mm. And once I kind of figured it out, I started raking some pots, and I get up about, I promised them I'd be home by 10. That was the first mistake.
You knew that wouldn't get happen.
Yeah, because about 9 o'clock, I really have clocked the table. Mm. And now I'm pretty much raking every pot. And I'm up about 800, and then all of a sudden these two drunk truckers show up, and it's 10 o'clock. I'm like, nope, I got to stick around. This is because I know this is going to be a different kind of game.
God sent them to you.
Yeah.
This is Christmas.
It's like, you know, this is God saying, hey, you know what? Don't worry about going to your in-laws for Christmas. I mean, it was 2 days before Christmas. It wasn't even Christmas. It was Christmas Eve by the time I left. Because I stayed there until those guys rebought twice each. And I had taken every dollar they brought with them. And it was just awesome because they were so drunk they couldn't even see their cards. And I'm just... It's one of those casinos that's so awful. You have to buy your drinks.
You weren't getting wasted.
No, I was just like, I'm going to do. So I get this text about 10:30. Where are you? I'm going to be a little later.
I'm on the way. I'll be there.
I'm going to be a little later. And then what I didn't realize is at midnight, they locked their house is in one of those enclosed gated community things. So
you're locked out.
Yeah, and you know, at least the casino has a free shuttle to take you home. And now keep in mind, this is freaking December in Saskatchewan. So I'm
a little nippy.
I'm stuck outside this thing and it's -5 degrees. It was worth it to win the money.
but they weren't interested in how much you wanted. They didn't care
because they went to bed. But the wife, I finally had to wake her up to come let me in. That did not go well.
Yeah.
And I was like, here's your cut.
And you're embarrassing me in front of my family. You got me out here in this 5 degree temperature to let your butt in here.
And, of course, her parents are great about it. It's like, I heard you did real well last night. So I had to give her a pretty significant cut.
Yeah.
And then the worst part was it was a nice chunk by the end of the night. But then when you come back to the States and have to convert it back to U.S. dollars, it's like, okay.
You got taxed.
Was it really worth getting that?
Not at all. That's the thing about playing in Europe, too, and I've played there. It's just, you know, the euros and it's just the money is different. It's a different game. It's fun, though.
I mean, poker's
cool.
Well, and I've played in a couple of tournaments up there now, and there's some good players up there. I still think we have better players in Houston than we do a lot of places, at least tournament players. I would say, I was talking to somebody about this, I think there's better tournament players here than the little tournaments we play in Vegas, because those are mostly tourists, and I mean a lot of the people that play these play them all the time, and I actually like playing with better players.
That makes sense.
But I think some of the ones I played in Canada, the players are really good, but they're a lot more aggressive pre-flop.
Oh yeah,
and so it's a very different kind of game, but it's fun, and it's always good to go up there and mix it up a little bit. Somebody asked, "What's up with the order of the podcast on the website? Everything's out of order and hard to find." John, do we have any updates on that? We know there's a problem with it.
Yeah, Brandon. The last time I was talking to him, he was going to check on it. All the podcasts are there. It's just a lot of them are just out of order.
Yeah, you've got I apologize for it, even though I had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, it's not just our show. It's every show. For some reason, when we upload them, they don't go to the top of the page. You have to do some scrolling, and we apologize.
J-Rap says, I find those to be the toughest game. The typical Asian player tends to be hyper-aggressive, and that is so hard to read.
Monkey!
Yeah. Although, you know, you say that, but I've played with Jong a couple times, and he's incredibly tight and sneaky. He's a sneaky player. He's solid, solid game.
That was going to be racist.
No, go ahead and be racist. He's good with it.
Man, we were at Lake Charles this past weekend for Teresa's 30th birthday, I didn't notice this because I'm never at the Baccarat tables, but one of Teresa's friends loves Baccarat, and she said she could sit there like all night if we don't, you know, go to her. So we're walking by the Baccarat table, and I noticed every single chair in every single Baccarat table, they're all Asian.
Yes.
That's the first time I've noticed this.
That's their game. Yeah. That's their game. You see that everywhere. What is it, the tri poker or whatever?
Pie galley.
Oh, my goodness. But yeah, the little poker rooms in L.A. are like that, man. Those tables are just packed with nothing but Asians. And I mean, it's a high Asian percentage population there anyway. But yeah, on the poker tables, though, they're a different sort. And I do like the racism at poker because they play me like, you know, a black guy who doesn't know what he's doing, because that's the stereotype that's thrown on a black player at the poker table, and I take advantage of that tremendously.
Well, and it's not just racial stereotypes. It's what That's one thing I learned from Daniel Negreanu. He'll sit there and talk to you, find out what your job is and what you do, and he'll categorize how you're going to play based on that. And like a teacher is going to be a more conservative player than a lawyer by nature.
He probably guessed that we would be more aggressive players than other people at the table because we like to talk and kind of be loose and that kind of thing.
Yeah, which is actually kind of the opposite. Yeah. But and no, Ruben, I said drunk truckers. Okay. Nice try, pal. All right, quick break. We'll be right back. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to The Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on The Blitz. Jerome Solomon filling in. Disco Biscuit's happy to hear that, if you saw that. So she loves when you sit in. And,
Why, thank you.
A couple things from the text line. Hey, Fred, your girlfriend did great with Dell today filling in for Palillo. That is not my girlfriend.
Ooh.
That is not. Let's play a little Sesame Street here.
Ooh, let's start a rumor.
Let's take one look at her, take one look at me. One of these things is not like the other.
That's what makes it so intriguing.
No.
People want to know.
No.
How you pull it off.
She's like my degenerate Lamarck little sister is how I describe her. So
you're doing your...
See, no, see, that's...
I stopped.
I know.
I caught myself.
And that's not going to... And see, that's
if you were someone else, I would have gone.
It's all right. Totally fine. No, she filled in with Dell for Palillo today, Holly, and did a great job. And our TV show will hit sometime next week, and Jerome's seen some of it. I think you guys are going to like it.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a great idea, and it's all about the execution. You got people with personality and liquor.
Yeah.
You'll be all right. What? Nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
And we're hoping to get in on some of that here ourselves today.
Now, you're talking about people start making up things and spreading, not even rumors, just making up stuff because it's not even a rumor. That makes me think of the Tony Parker situation with the Spurs, and I see that he's moving on. But how many times have you heard people say and just throw out there and talk about Tony Parker – went after Kawhi Leonard and, you know, dogged him, et cetera. But when you, and I saw it again today because it came up. Hello.
Thank you, Tasha. What did you bring us?
Tasty.
I brought you guys some whiskey. Oh, awesome. Just whiskey and ice? That's all whiskey? Okay.
That's ridiculous.
That's like a quadruple. Did you get Jong one?
Yeah, I have one.
Okay. Well, good. This is going to be a fun show. Go back to watching your boyfriend sleep. Yeah, of course he is.
Sports on the Rocks is starting now.
Friday version of the Blitz, yes. But all right, well, here's to you guys. Salute.
Indeed, salute. That people can see it, knows. Mm-hmm. When you hear, and I saw it when it first happened, and I was really cracking up on people who were turning Tony Parker's words into something that he didn't say about his injury was so much worse and Kawhi Leonard needs to go ahead and come back. That's not even close to what the guy said. It's not even in the ballpark of the tenor or tone of what he had to say, but it's just a generally accepted belief from a lot of people who never saw the press conference. It wasn't the press conference. He was just sitting there talking to the group of local media there. And stuff like that really bothers me when people just miscategorize something like that.
Well, and it's not just that. Sometimes it's context. Like if you're sitting here having a conversation and you say something a certain way, and I know you're joking because I can see your face, I can hear the inflection in your voice, but if I read it in print, it's a totally different thing.
The words don't don't mean what they mean all the time.
We get that all the time with Twitter where people are trying to be sarcastic and it doesn't really come off that way because it's, you know, it's Twitter. It's hard to do it. We need a sarcasm emoji. Mm-hmm. But or with the text line too. Sometimes people are trying to be funny and it doesn't come off that way. It just comes off as I'm being a dickweed. And the reality is, you know, people, this is our society. Now we believe what we want to believe. It doesn't matter if somebody comes and says, no, I wasn't making a joke about it. It's like, nope.
They decided what they want to believe before they even hear it half the time, too.
Yep. Oh. And it just depends on your preconceived notions about a person.
Yeah. And that one, what really stands out about it is, you know, I think the question may have been along the lines of any advice for Kawhi as he's dealing with this injury. And Tony Parker was like, hey, man, just be patient, you know, just keep your head up, you know, that kind of thing. Stay positive. Cause you know, I had the same thing and I was hurt for 8 months and mine was 100 times worse, but even the way he threw it in there, it wasn't even like, mine was so much worse. I can't believe he's back. It wasn't even that. It was like, man, you just got to stay positive. You just got to deal with it, and eventually you'll get better. It had nothing to do with when is he coming back. Why don't he hurry up and come back? He didn't even say we miss him, we need him. It would be nice if he came back, you know, soon. Nothing even close to that. But you know, people believe what they want to believe.
All right. Well, here's one I want to ask you about, and it's 713-780-ESPN. Well, you know what? Let's. Squeeze Jeff on real quick, and then we'll get to this story. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you.
So Carmelo Anthony is getting bought out for tax purposes, and they're talking about the Rockets being a potential landing spot. But for me, I feel kind of awkward about it because number one, D'Antoni in New York. I mean, that's kind of funny. You know, I don't know if D'Antoni would want it, but number two, given his past performance this year, would y'all even want him on your team as a role player? Because that's what he'd have to be, it seems like. You know, I just kind of want to get your thoughts if you'd want Melo, and if so, what role would you even see him for, or would y'all not even want him on your team at all, given what he did last year?
All right. Hey, Jeff, go back and listen to the podcast 415. We covered all of that. So appreciate the call. Obviously, you're just getting in your car. And if you're another person who's just getting in a car and missed out, second segment, that was...
But real quick, one thing that I didn't include there that you can see when you go back and hunt down that podcast, that'll be, you know...
Yeah, it's not that easy to find, admittedly.
Might not be as easy to find.
Yeah.
The guy was horrible last season, right? He averaged 16.2 points a game. So he can still score some points in a great system that Oklahoma City runs compared to what the Rockets do, compared to what we know that Mike D'Antoni can do when he designs something. So
with a bigger ball hog than anybody, even like, Harden, frankly.
Right. Yeah, to put it mildly. So, I mean, the guy still has some ability. Now, whether you can get that out of him, whether he can be, like you say, would you want him as a role player? Yeah, I would want him as a role player. Will he accept that role is the problem and the question, and that's what the Rockets have to determine. But I can guarantee you this is one of those they would not make the move without asking Mike D'Antoni. They don't have to ask him about a lot of things. This is one of those where you got to check with your head coach on this one because the coach is the one that has to deal with him every day.
Texter says, whole new appreciation for afternoon drive radio. Now that I move further out, you guys do a great job keeping me entertained on the drive home. Jermaine. Thank you, Jermaine. That's all we try to do, man, is we try to have fun. Hope people enjoy it. Hope that we can keep you entertained so that you don't want to kill people in traffic because Houston drivers are the worst on the planet. I think we've all established that.
I just disagree with that.
I know you do.
Why are you going to dog our people?
How many accidents have you been in the city but because it was somebody else's fault?
Well, every accident, but I've only been in one.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, I've only... I did hit this kid on a bicycle once. It was his fault.
Okay, this I want to hear.
I guess the statute of limitations is probably gone by now.
Yeah, I'd like to hear this.
I was rolling down the street, and you know, you like a kid's on the bicycle on the side of your car, you know, and he just decided to just cut right off in front of me, right? And I was driving a Honda Accord at the time, and he blew over the top of the car, blew, landed on the street. And I was like, oh, man, I've run over a kid on... I've hit a kid on a bicycle.
He's trying to sue you. That's a scam.
Well, hold on. It would have been a good scam. Yet, okay, so an ambulance is coming, the police shows up, and the witnesses... I'm in Studiewood. Wasn't even in Acres Homes, but in Studiewood. The witnesses are coming up to the police. This car hit this guy in a truck. went by, hit the kid on the bike, and then he ran into this guy's car and just fell on the top of it. I didn't say a word. Three witnesses swore that somebody else hit the kid on the bike, knocked him into my car.
What did the kid say?
Oh, he's lying down on... I mean, he wasn't out, but he didn't... You know, he was...
Just, he was dead.
He knew he was driving like a maniac. And when his mother showed up about 15 minutes later, cussing him out for riding around up and down the street like, you know, wild
so
on the bike.
So this is not the first time.
Yeah, when the mom comes out and says, not again!
And I'm just sitting over there like, well, no need of me saying anything. And, you know, I'm saying, well, what happened? I said, hit my car, man. I'm driving, boom. Next thing I know, kid's on top of the hood. And the officer said, well, clearly you're not at fault. There's somebody else. Nobody got the other license plate. I said, I didn't either, officer. Neither did I.
And so you didn't lie?
No, I didn't lie.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have, but I didn't have to. It wasn't required at the time. And he wasn't seriously injured. You know, he was able to get up and walk away. His bike was messed up. His mom slapped him upside the head. He was probably hurting like hell the next day. Because it was a pretty nice little... you know, tumble that he took. But it told me then, you cannot believe eyewitnesses. I knew you couldn't believe them when it comes to facial recognition.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they...
No, you hang out with a lot of defense lawyers, too.
Well, that, yeah. But this so one, I was like, wait a minute, what are they talking about? There was no other car. But they swore to it. I mean, you know.
Yeah, well,
they were smoking.
And I went on a rant about this a few weeks ago about how if you're going to bike on the street, you need to... You need to obey the rules of the road. Cars need to pay attention to you. You need to pay attention to them. People don't do it. You know, I don't have a lot of sympathy for you if you're out there riding your bike like a maniac in traffic.
There have been a lot of deaths recently and this year, specifically on people hitting. And I used to joke about, man, get your bike off the road, I'll run you over kind of thing. And I'm more mature now. I don't joke about that. But I also believe you're driving a bicycle, I'm in a car. Get out of the way.
Well, I mean, at least stick to the bike lanes when you can. Don't be driving down Westheimer on your bicycle. And that just makes no sense. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do on both sides. All right, the music stopped playing. That means let's go to break. We'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. No A.J. today. Jerome Solomon filling in. And guys, I got to tell you about SportsMap.com, the greatest sports website in the history of the known universe. Well, it's not that, but it's getting there. Great stuff today, as always. Follow us on Twitter at SportsMapHOU because that's where you'll get it'll every time we send something out, it'll pop up. We've got Jerry Bowe, who is another one of our young and developing stars here at Gal Media, has been killing it on the World Cup, so his Bookie Busters is up, so you can go get that. You got John Granato telling Rockets fan to man up. Still have some things up. We got Juggalo Trey's NASCAR preview. We got our Harris County Houston Sports Authority insider and a couple of efforts from our interns. Intern Shane kind of went and looked at how you revamped the playoffs, how it would have impacted the Rockets. And Emily, who's our sports map intern, did a little story on why no one's talking about Colin McHugh, who's killing it.
So no AJ, is it? What's worse, me chewing on air or him burping on air?
The burping, yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, cause, see, I have a bad habit. My bad habit is I'll chew ice, and you got So I've had to stop that because it's not something I think about, and then you realize how awful it sounds on air.
So, wonder how I would suck in my teeth. What did I come across like?
There's no sucking on here, so we don't do that.
Man, this professionalism is so hard to maintain the standards.
Yeah. What standards? Jose said, great poker talk, guys. How young is too young to teach my brother poker? He's 13 and now he's hooked.
Oh, that's a good age.
That's a real good
age. I wish I'd learned at that young of an age.
I started teaching my son when he was about six. And he would sit there while I was playing. At the time, I was playing some pretty high-dollar tournaments on Poker Stars and Full Tilt. And he would sit there and watch me and learn what I was doing and make suggestions. And he picked it up really fast. And he's actually a terrific player. My daughter's really good, too.
Yeah, the 13-year-old mind is good for poker, and, I think.
And my niece was about 13 when I started teaching her. And she actually, I got so much, I trusted her so much that if I had the, you know, those of you who remember all those, the Poker Stars day where
you could walk away from and let her have it.
Yeah, yeah. If you actually had to do something like use the restroom, I could leave her there and let her handle the hands for me because she'd know what to do. But yeah, it's I think the younger the better. I mean, because especially because there is, no matter who you are, there's going to be a period of losing, and the sooner you get that out of the way, the better.
Gotta learn.
Yeah.
Gotta learn them sometimes.
Yeah. Because anybody that tells you they win all the time is lying their ass off.
No doubt.
The reality is we all have losing sessions. We all have tournaments that we lose. Just like sports bets, just like horses, everything we do, you're going to lose sometimes. And losing becomes, to me, every loss should be a learning experience. No matter what it is you're betting on, did I do the right thing? And if so, and I failed at it, then okay, it was bad luck. But you also have to realize sometimes your bad play can lead to bad luck, and you have to analyze that too. It's like, okay,
you brought it on yourself.
Yeah, it's like, I was way ahead with my Jack Nine, but what the hell was I doing in that hand with Jack Nine? And you know, sometimes the decisions you make at the beginning are the ones you have to question. Not, oh, you got so unlucky to get rivered there. Well, were you really unlucky, or did you not belong in the hand? Those are all questions you have to ask yourself and be honest with yourself.
Yeah, I didn't learn poker till I was much older. And it came pretty easy to me because, well, I say it came easy to me because the first time I played, I won a lot of money. And I was like, hey, and I was literally going, okay, what's better between these two hands? You know, like I'm trying to figure it out as I was going, but you know, obviously the competition wasn't ridiculously good. But when I was 13, I mean, I had to learn how to play backgammon and dominoes. I was putting in 5-6 hours a day during the summer playing dominoes and all other kind of card games and spades and stuff like that. I wish I'd learned poker back then. I certainly could have easily because I learned those other games.
Yeah.
And not just learned them. I thought I, you know, was as good as you could be as a 13-year-old with your mind working with the counting of the cards and calculating what's available and what's not. It's 13 is old enough, no doubt.
It was really 94 is when I got serious about it because I was at the time working out the racetrack and there were some high stakes games in the suites, and that's where I learned from basically. I played 7-card stud a lot, which nobody plays anymore, and that's where I first started playing hold'em, and you know I did okay, but I was also, you know, I didn't really take to it until it's just like anything else. When you have some success at something, then you get into it. It's like I didn't learn how to play until after I won my first tournament, and I was in Vegas, and it was a $500 buy-in tournament, and I think I won $11,000. And on the flight home, I bought like 3 poker books and started learning, and that's where I started learning because I was very lucky to win the tournament. And that's the beauty of it though, is you can not know what you're doing and get lucky and win sometimes, and that's life, right? That's what I love about it so much. And so I used to be notorious for getting mad on beats, but I don't anymore. Now it's like, okay, let's just move on. But
I love the people who get angry. They're so much fun to play with. you had a couple of your boys who were.
You had one of my good friends, you two guys. I was always afraid it was going to come to blows, and he would have destroyed you.
There's no doubt. I couldn't have survived that. Yeah. No, he was way too strong, and he would have been the angry one, and I'd be still laughing, and he'd probably be beating me senseless. Oh,
and I did that to him one night where he was to my left, and we're down at the final table, and like every time he's raising, and I'm just coming over the top all in, like 4 hands in a row, and he's getting so pissed. And finally, after the 4th one, I said, turn over aces, and say, did you really want to call that? And guess what I did the next time around? Same thing.
And they finally got so sick
of me doing it that everybody just chopped.
Yeah, it wasn't like I was so much of a better player than him that I got to abuse him all the time. It just literally was one of those situations where every time he made a mistake, I was the one who cast in on it. And every time he had a good hand, I would be the one that had a better one. It was just...
And you guys would mix it up a lot, too. It was funny that you'd get in the hands of...
And then there was one night where it was just disgusting where I just told him what I had every hand. And he didn't believe me half the time and was wrong. And then when he did believe me, it was like, well, I'm telling you not to do that. I wouldn't, you know, I got this. Don't do that. And he'd do it anyway.
I remember us playing cash there one night and... You told this one guy, he was like, he was a good player, but he was my whipping boy. It was like every time he got in a hand, I would have something better. And it was just bad luck on his part. But there was one night you said, the guy, he asked you, do you have aces? Yeah, I'm not good. I've got aces. Okay, I'm going to call you. Turned over aces.
I love it when I tell him I don't lie, man.
It was funny. It was hilarious because as soon as you said it, you had this leap-eating grin on your face. I'm like, he does. He's got aces. And he's going to call him anyway. All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Crying out for attention. The memories fade like looking through a fog.
ESPN 97.5.